it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Host of the Best Football Show podcast, Insider Calls, are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Baldy, good to have you back with us. I know you did the game in Washington with the Giants and Commanders. Was it even uglier being there for it than it was on TV?
Yeah, for any Giant fan, it was uglier being there. And there was a lot of Giant fans that showed up. A lot of blue in that stadium on Sunday. It was every bit as ugly on Sunday as what you felt watching it on TV. And it was even worse when I went back and studied it and watched it. It was just terrible football.
Was it a combination of just uninspiring play calling, Russell not seeing things, the old line? I mean, what exactly was it? Besides maybe everything.
Well, it's everything. I mean, if you just go back to first and goal at the one.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, like, that sequence of plays frustrated me more than anything. That's a 7-0 game. You're right in the game. You got a pass interference call, whatever. You got hands to the face. You got a first down at the one. And they call a play for a rookie tackle who's tackle eligible. Probably the first time in his life he's ever reported in. I'm eligible, number 71. And you run the play for Marcus Bowe, and Washington is watching it. They don't let him off the line of scrimmage, and Russell's got no place to go with the ball. It wasn't a trick play to Washington. It wasn't anything. They were ready for it. You know, that sequence was just awful. They came away with nothing there. Like that, just, I mean, they ended up quarterback sneaking because they couldn't gain a yard and they went to their quarterback sneak, and that worked twice, and that's always a pretty safe play right there in that situation.
Yeah, but Baldy, real quick, though, because the schematics of that play, like, I mean, wow, we're getting this creative the first week. I mean, this would come out, dude, how about you just say hike and you shove it down somebody's throat? To me, you got to set a tone. And to me, when you call a play like that, you're basically telling your offensive lineman, we don't think you can get a yard. I mean, what kind of message is
that? I agree.
That?
In fact, I think I said that in the air. Like, I think I was with Chris Carino announcing it, and I think I actually said that. Like, there's no need to trick anybody. This is week one. Like, you've been spending all offseason telling you how you've upgraded the offensive line and all these different positions. Okay. You got a great opportunity. You had these scrimmages against the Jets. You did short yardage. You did goal line. Like, go make it pay off. Go get a yard. I mean, when you can't gain a yard when you need a yard, you're not a good football team.
How much of the fault of the Giants' struggles is because of Andrew Thomas not being there?
It's some. I mean, Andrew Thomas, like, Hudson did not play well. I wouldn't say anybody played well up front across the board. But Andrew Thomas, he makes a difference. Like, he's an elite player. Protection's probably a little bit better than it would have been. Maybe in the run game, they would have been a little bit better. But it doesn't really account for just a dreadful showing all the way around.
The Giants' run defense is obviously behind their pass rush. I didn't know that it would quite be this far behind it again. Is that going to be short off, or is this going to be a week-to-week issue where it's just that bad?
Well, you took a kid in Jacory Merritt, you know, Kroski Merritt, that nobody ever heard of. Seventh-round pick, didn't even play in college. And he looked like, he's probably their starting running back. Now, they know a lot more about him than the Giants did. But, I mean, the quarterback is elite, and so he got his scrambles. But, you know, anytime you look up, I don't care how you do it, but you look up at the end of the day and they run for 220 yards against you, nothing's fixed from a year ago. Nothing. So you can I felt like Dexter had no influence in that game at all, Dexter Lawrence. And he's supposed to be the monster in the middle. And I didn't feel like Dexter in the pass game, in the run game. I mean, I don't have any problem calling him out here on the air. Like, I didn't think he showed up. You know, this is a Washington offense line that's upgraded for sure. Left tackle, right tackle, rookie. But, you know, this is NFC East football. You don't run for 220 yards against a team in the NFC East. that you're just not supposed to do that.
We were told, Baldy, that it was going to be different. BT and Sal on the fan were talking about Brian Baldinger. We're told that it was going to be different this year. Fans were getting excited, maybe just about Jackson Dart and the preseason, the feel. But realistically, going into these first two games of the year, outside, you know, road games, but inside the division with the Washington, with Dallas, and then you see that, and then you see Daniel Jones have success in week one. Like, it's year four here. I was blaming the coach yesterday. Is this primarily on the head coach?
Well, when you have a performance like that and you can't score a touchdown, and it's on the coach. Like, I watched Daniel Jones's game. He played great. I haven't seen Daniel Jones play that great. But I'll say this. The scheme of allowing Daniel Jones to play where, okay, this is who's going to be open on this play. Throw it right here. He did all of that. And he's got an elite tight end in Tyler Warren. That made a difference. But I thought Daniel Jones played as fast and free and loose as I've seen him. And I thought how they schemed it, whether it was half field reads or this is where attacking coverage with this route combination and this is where you go with the ball, he followed. It was like paint by numbers. He made it look really easy.
So what about Jackson Dart? Because to me, that's the final thing here, Baldy. It's been 4 years. I've seen different quarterbacks already. I don't need to see more other than if Jackson Dart is the real deal or not. To me, that would be the one thing that could save Dable. You told us last week, maybe you're thinking week five, where are you at with when the Giants might turn the reins over to Jackson Dart?
I wouldn't wait anymore. I just wouldn't waste anymore. Like, the guy's talented. He's played in the SEC for 3 years. He's been in two major college football programs. Why is it that J.J. McCarthy in his first NFL start can go out and do what he did in the fourth quarter? Why does Bo Nix take a team to a playoff? You know, I mean, look, Jaden Daniels, the offense rookie of the year. Like, these kids are ready to play. They're just more advanced than they have been in the past. I would take the reins off. Troy Aikman was 1-15 his rookie year. He went to the Hall of Fame. Like, I can give you, for every guy you tell me that got ruined because he played too soon, I'll give you another guy that flourished because he did play. And here's the danger. If you sit there and go, okay, Russell's our guy, and we've seen what Russell is, enough. But if you say, well, you know, we don't want to damage him. Well, what if he can win you games? What if he's ready? That's the conundrum for everybody in that organization who's just, like, literally, I mean, they're like the walking dead over there right now, I'm sure. But, like, everybody in that organization over there, what if he is ready? And what if you can beat Washington? And what if you can beat Dallas? And this kid's on the sideline. Like, that's like, you know, we're getting to that point right now where you go, screw it. Let's put him out there. Let's play him. Because I think he's going to be a difference maker.
All right, Baldy, a couple of quick things on the Jets here. BT and Sal Baldinger, of course, with us every Tuesday during the week, during the football season, breaking down the film, things that we might not see. How much of what Fields showed is real?
All of it. Like, I thought he was fantastic.
Talk to me.
I thought it was all real. The touchdown throw, you know, to Garrett Wilson was the right read. It was a deep cross. He got good protection. He made the right. He threw the guy open. You can easily screw that throw up. You can, like, try to, like, make it perfect. He let Garrett go get it. His the extension of plays when it was time to do it was really good. Ball placement to different guys, I thought it was really sharp. I mean, T.J. Watt is sitting there waiting for him on that read option that he scores on. He's sitting there waiting on the play. And Justin just, you know, that's a defensive player of the year. As good as there is in his business, he ran right around him like he was standing still.
Yeah.
Like, it was impressive. And the offensive line was really, like, I think Tippmann is a much better guard than center.
Okay.
I feel bad for Ali Vera Tucker, but I think they're lucky that they have Tippmann there because they played really well up front.
Yeah, and I was looking at some of the numbers with Membu, who was the highest graded offensive lineman of rookies. I think he had a 90.3 PFF grade. Saucehead was the number one rated cornerback during week one there. So it was certainly some good storylines. They just looked like, number one, they had more energy. They had more conviction in what they want to do. They actually looked like a football team, but there are elements of concern. The corner opposite Sauce, don't love the third level. Who's the second receiver? If I ask you right now, Baldy, the biggest issue for the Jets moving forward is going to be what?
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Brandon Stevens at the other corner looks like a problem.
Yep.
Like, I mean, look, he has played in Baltimore. I mean, 2 years ago, they led the league in sacks. They led the league in takeaways. You can benefit a lot, great deal, you know, when you have consistent pressure up front. And I'm not saying that, I mean, Baltimore didn't make any effort to try and keep him. I think that's a problem. DJ was really good for his time there in New York. And I think that's a little bit of a drop off. And then, I don't know, like, who is the second receiver?
It might be the tight end. Might be Mason Taylor.
It's going to be. Yeah, I think Mason Taylor is going to be that guy for sure.
Yeah.
So I think that's it. And Josh Reynolds has a role, but he's more of a three than a two.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you like him. He's good. He's a good blocker. He does the right thing. He knows the plays. But he's not. If they want to take Garrett out, like, who's going to go win? That's going to be a problem. Because you can't just count on Justin Fields to run and extend plays all the time. The defense is going to like start spying him and prevent him from doing some of those things he did on Sunday. And then, honestly, Xavier Gipson came here as a nice story, and he had a great play the first game he ever played in.
Yeah, Bills.
Laying that ball on the carpet in that situation.
Yep.
Like, I don't know. Like, what are you getting out of him? Because your returner can't turn the ball over in that situation.
Boldy, I said I would have cut him. And I know that's incredibly insensitive. I don't say that much, but you're trying to change a culture, and he has had ball security issues before. I would have cut him today. You can find somebody who's equal.
No, I agree. I mean, the return game's important, but is he a difference maker in the return game? And so sometimes you just send a hard message. Like, I don't disagree with you. Jimmy Johnson had done that in the past. Different coaches have done that. To just say, like, they had a great chance to win that game against a really good team. And that play really killed them right there. That was the heartbreaker in that game. And look, these games are coming down. We saw on Sunday night with Baltimore and Buffalo. Like, one turnover in a game right now can flip the whole game. And so it flipped that game on Sunday. That's a shame because they played well enough to win.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We're talking with Brian Baldinger. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. You mentioned at Baldy that you believe it was real with Justin Fields. What's been the difference in your mind from watching him with Chicago, Pittsburgh a year ago, and now with the Jets? Is it just coaching? Is he matured? What's the difference with Justin Fields?
I think some of it is Tanner Engstrom, the offense coordinator. He did a lot of really good creative things. They miss those two coaches in Detroit. They couldn't score in Detroit the other day up in Green Bay. But I thought the way that he uses motions, the way that he protected the edges, like, it was really solid up front all game long against elite pass rushers. And you can't say that TJ changed the game or Alex Highsmith or Cam Hayward. Like, they didn't. And I think it started with protection, and then the way that they leak guys out late for a safety valve. Like, I think they're really in concert with one another. Tanner and Justin together.
Mm-hmm. Listen, I'm not looking at the film like you do. I mean, you're as good as anybody in the business doing this. But the one thing that I noticed from my couch, and I said this to Sal yesterday, is that Chicago Bears Justin Fields, things break down. He's trying to be an athlete, which you respect, trying to make something happen. Eyes are down. The new Justin Fields, he's extending the play, and he's keeping his head upfield. Is that accurate?
That's accurate. I mean, he did some of that in Chicago, too. But the offense made no sense in Chicago for much of the time he was there. There's got to be a rhythm and a timing to every offense. We all see it when the offense moves. And when it doesn't move like the Giants on Sunday, you're like, something's not right. And you saw it in Chicago last night. The rhythm between the quarterback and the receivers, it just isn't there. Now, maybe it'll get there. Maybe it's week one. But I feel like they're in lockstep with one another. And the other thing is, Justin's a very serious student. But he reminds me a lot of Jalen Hurts in that regard. Like, he's a very serious guy.
Okay.
He's not out there joking around, clowning around. He doesn't do any of that. He's a very serious – he wants to be good. And I think they're coaching him hard. And I think the coaching matters. And I think what they put out there on tape, like, you can't expect to score 30-plus points every week. But I think they have an offense that, you know, between the formations, the motions, and the shifts, it made sense to me.
Last one for you, Baldy. Which combo would you be more excited about? Dable and Dart or Glenn and Fields?
That's a good one.
Well, I mean, just based off 1 week, I would take, you know, Glenn, AG, and Justin. But I'd like to see the rookie in there for the Giants. Like, I think he's going to be – like, everything can change. Malik Nabers isn't arguing with the coach on the sideline. Like, all the things we saw. Like, I think it all changed. This kid, like, some – maybe I'm dead wrong on this guy, but I've been around him enough. Like, this guy is a bright bulb about the game of football. And his movement, his eyes, his what he sees, like, he plays with a swagger, and that's how you have to play. You have to attack. You can't sit back and try to, well, I'm going to clear the rush, and then when I see, then I'm going to make the throw. Like, enough of what we saw on Sunday.
Sounds like Aaron Glenn and Jackson Dart would be your choice of combination, Baldy. Thank you.
I'd like to see that, too.
Thank you, Baldy. You're the best. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. You got me.
Nice.
That was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Got to be encouraged there if you're a Jet fan hearing Baldy speak.
I am. My life keeps singing it, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, I like that about Justin Fields, the fact that he's no-nonsense guy. Go out there and work. You just need him to be able to keep up that type of performance. Again, if he does that every week, he's going to be in the MVP conversation, but even a little bit less than that.
And think about this. They're going to play defenses that eventually that aren't that good. Steelers have, you know, a bunch of Hall of Famers. Like, the Steelers are good.
Yeah.
They're well-coached. They're well-prepared. They've got good athletes. They've got good players. So, again, to replicate that every week, especially this week against the Bills, not real. I mean, I'm not looking to that, but I cannot wait. Let me put it this way. I can't wait to watch him play a second game as a Jet.
Which is one of the last times we said you can't wait to watch the Jets play a football game. And then the other thing is he's talking about Jackson Dart. He would do it now.
Yeah, I know.
And he was the one who said it
last
week.
He was early last week with us,
too. Yeah. And I was like, what?
He's basically saying Russ is done.
That's it.
It looks like he's done.
Hey, sign me up. We'll get to that when we come back. The conversation about what would be your breaking point to definitively go with Jackson Dart.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.